Hey, you, my entrepreneurial friend, of 10 years of running my coaching business, I am going to finally teach business. And of course, I'm going to teach business with human design. Because the thing that I've discovered over the last decade is that the way everyone else taught me to run a business didn't freaking work for me. So over this last decade, to create a multiple seven-figure business, I've broken all the rules. I have done everything my way. I have looked experts in the face and downright said no, all to create something I love with greater ease and flow that literally is changing the world. And the best part is it doesn't feel like work at all. It feels like I get to hang out with my best friends and I am having a huge impact on the planet at the same time. So if you own a business that you want to finally maybe start, grow, or even scale, then come and join me on the 9th of May to discover how your human design can create the most beautiful, authentic success for you. For all the details, follow the link in the show notes. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Human Design Podcast. It is freaking awesome to have you here. Now, today we have the last in the series of parenting with human design with the amazing Kristen Shorter. So please enjoy that. Before I get to that, I just wanted to jump in and say thank you to everyone out there for leaving reviews. If you haven't left a five-star review telling us how much you love the podcast, please, please do that for us so that we can make sure we can get as many people out there onto human design. Because the more of us that are living in alignment with our design, the more of us that are going to be really creating heaven on earth in the new paradigm. So I'm super pumped and excited to do all I possibly can and for you guys to do all you possibly can to get there. The next thing that I am so excited about is we started the first call. So by the time this goes to air, I'll be just about to run the second call, but the first call for Mastermind 1.0. And wow, you know, one of the things I've really learned is that the universe curates the most incredible groups for me, whether it is HDX, whether it is the guests here on the podcast, whether it's Purpose and Abundance, whether it's my Mastermind 1.0 or my Mastermind 2.0, which I want to talk to you a little bit about because that's in launch right now and I'm so excited about this. But wow, the universe brings together such incredible people and I feel so grateful every single day to do the work that I do. I was walking back from getting my coffee today and just thinking how I had a flashback of when I was working in media and how much of the day I would spend thinking about how much I didn't want to be there. And then I had like a flash forward, but still a flashback to starting up my nanny business, which was the first business I had as an entrepreneur. And again, like how hard I pushed myself, how much I lived in my mind and how much I didn't enjoy the work. And then just really reflecting on today, like every single day I'm getting paid to be me. I feel like, you know, little Emma, that child version of me that really wanted to have an impact on planet Earth and leave it better than I found it. Like she's here. We're freaking acing it. We are impacting lives on the daily and I could not have more fun than working with all of you. So I'm so grateful to have all of you in all my programs and listeners and Instagram followers, the people that reach out, like you guys rock. And I feel so incredible. I don't know if you can hear that. It's my youngest playing hide and seek with his friends in the background. I'm so grateful. I'm so incredibly grateful. So thank you. Now, The other thing that I'm really excited about at the moment is the Gene Keys Golden Path. Now, I know you've heard me talk about it. I know you're probably curious. One of the things I've been experimenting a lot with, especially for me, is the Pearl Sequence, which is all about prosperity. I've also been experimenting with my Activation Sequence, which is all about our genius. And more recently, I've been diving into the Venus Sequence. And the Venus Sequence is all about relationships. And to be honest, I was very like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Because I feel like I've done so much work in this area of relationships. However, it has been blowing my mind, people. The journey from this wound that is like, oh, what's the word? I don't think embedded is a really good word, but I'm going to use it. In the first trimester of pregnancy. And then this leads out into so much of this journey, and it's our, SQ, our EQ, our IQ. I know this doesn't probably mean much to you guys if you don't follow the Gene Keys, but it's this journey that we go on that develops this wound in us. And what this process does is it really shows us our truth and our wound and how it's a gift and all of these really cool things. It's mind-blowing. But of course, the other sequences that also are within there really connect us to our genius, like why are we here on the planet, and really connect us to our prosperity. And this has really blown my mind, this prosperity piece, because I have not felt resonant to teach money. There's this real dichotomy, I think that's the word I'm looking for, within my body, because I want to teach money. I've been learning about money and abundance for a really long time. And I've taught it a few times. We've got great results, but it's like my emotional authority is like, not quite yet. And what I know now is it's because I hadn't, up until that point, I didn't have the Pearl Sequence, because this has been a game changer for me. And this is where not only can we see, how specifically, like what are the themes, what are the methods, but we can see of growing our wealth, you know, through the work that we do, through the person that we are, how we initiate the other, but also how we're specifically designed to attract money. And I think this is going to be the massive game changer, because we've got so many coaches out there saying, you know, earn this much a month, earn this much, you know, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. You can do it too. I've done it. Now you can do it. But we're not all designed to do that. You know, many of us are designed to have like everything that we need very simplified, and then that's enough for us. Others, it's all about earning money so that we can give it away in philanthropy. For others, like me, I am designed to earn a lot of money and use that in celebration. So this is the other piece I think is really powerful. It's that, again, becoming your own guru. Like, yes, I have lots of experience to share with you. Yes, I have lots of wisdom. Yes, I'm really good at, you know, solving problems and being that leader that you need. However, I am not here to teach you how I did it from step to step to step. I'm here to teach you how I discovered to lead myself, to discover my own genius, to discover how I'm designed to make money, how I'm designed in relationships, how I'm designed, how my genius is designed. That's what I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to teach you the exact steps I took. I'm going to teach you how to empower you so that you become your own guru, so that you get it. Like one of the things with the Venus Sequence, let's be honest, it is a little bit confusing. There's beautiful language. You can tell it's written by a poet. However, you know, it's where the rubber hits the road for me. So I've rambled on for 8 minutes. Justin's going to be like, dude, you need to keep those intros shorter. So I'm going to wind it up. If any of that sounds exciting to you, we still have seats on Mastermind 2.0, which starts the first week of September. What we're actually going to do, and this is really just because I'm super excited, we've got half the seats taken already. But I'm so excited to get the 8 seats in each class taken. I'm running a class in HDX that's going to go over the entire Golden Path tomorrow. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys, even if you're not in HDX, I'm going to let you guys watch that class for about a week. It might only be 5 days. It might even be less than that, but we'll see. I'm an emotional authority. I still haven't decided. I haven't got clarity on that yet. because I really want this opportunity. I want all these seats filled because it's going to be such an awesome adventure. And we have some incredible, incredible people in there already. So if that sounds like something you might want to watch, follow the link in the show notes. It's going to just let you know when the replay is available, because obviously by the time this goes to air, it won't actually have been, the class wouldn't have been run yet when it's available, so you can go and have a look at it. And if then you want to get involved with a mastermind, then there will be links for you to do that. So that's it from me on my long intro. Enjoy the last in the parenting series from Kristen Shorter. It's another absolute cracker. Enjoy. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. We are on the third episode, or the third thing in
series.
Yeah, exactly, of our parenting series. So welcome, Kristen Shorter. Yeah, she's back. So today we're going to talk about the profile lines. We're going to talk about the wounds that we most commonly receive, because these are our prominent themes that we go through life with, and how to parent for that, how we can support our kids through it. So Kristen, welcome. And yeah, let's get into it. It's so lovely to have you again.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. So let's start with line one, shall we?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So line one is the investigator. It's driven to investigate the foundation of things to discover how life works. And once they firmly establish this secure foundation, now they can relax. Okay. So the more they know, the less they fear. And that fear is driven by a deep insecurity. And when you don't know what's going on, what's happening, where you're living, what your room's going to be like, like if parents are getting divorced, for example, or parents are moving, you're in a military home and now it's time to move every few years, or you're just selling your house for whatever reason, or maybe you're going to a relative's home, or you have the schedule for your child after school and they get home and all of a sudden you're like, we're doing all these things and they don't know what they're doing, why they're doing it, where they're going. These are the kids that are going to be asking you a lot of questions, and to tell them, because I'm the parent and I say so, is going to deeply wound them, because they will never be able to relax. They will never be able to feel safe until they have information. So that deep insecurity, it drives them to learn.
Yeah.
It drives them to understand. And so they'll seek out authorities. They'll seek out mentors and teachers. But when they're learning something, it's a private process. They do need time to learn alone. So like going to take music lessons, but then they need their own time to really study and do it on their own and figure out how they want to do it in their own way. And once they get that, then they don't need the music lessons anymore. Once they have that foundation laid, now they can kind of do their own thing and you don't need to keep paying for these lessons.
Oh, I love that. I so resonate with all of that. So I've got a line one son, my eldest. Mm-hmm. and that's absolutely him to a T. He asks so many questions. He likes to know. And because they're both MGs, we do our best to inform. But I have emotional authority. So often I'm like, I don't know yet. But he's that one that he goes down the rabbit hole. He goes down the rabbit hole. And it definitely makes him feel, better to have the more information he has, the better. And I love what you said at the end, like, with his surfing. So at first it was like, teaching him, supporting him, whatever it was. And now it's like, nah, I don't need anyone else. I just go, literally will go on his own most mornings. So that really resonates.
Yeah.
Awesome. Brilliant. I love it. So shall we move into the line two?
Yeah. So the line two, the first line, they're investigating. They're like, what is this? What is this? They're learning how it works. And that's how they learn what they're good at. The second line is a natural. It's completely unaware. It doesn't know where their gifts come from or why they have certain gifts, but they just do. And if you are a second line and you're doing something and it's really hard, ditch it, because you are literally designed to be a natural at something, but there can be a lot of unawareness around that. And the second line has this projection field quality to it, very similar to the fifth line projection field. The second line projection field goes inward. The fifth line projection field goes outward. And so the second line is this little hermit. It's like, hey, I just want to be by myself. I got all my gifts. I want to do it this way. But the other lines notice that the second line is this, has this talent, is a natural at something. And so they get called out by others who want to use their gifts in a particular way. Now, they are, the second lines really need to be left alone to do their own thing, their own way. And what's really detrimental for the second line is that they can get really uncomfortable when people kind of step into their energy, notice them, call them out, but then they're like, well, this is how you need to do it. And this is what I want you to do. And this is how I do it. And this is how you should do it. That doesn't work for the second line. The second lines, they're the ones that can pick up an instrument and just play it and not really know how they know how to play it. No, they're the savants of the world.
Yeah. And can I ask a question about that? Because my youngest son's a line too. And, you know, so going back to surfing, like literally any board, any wave, that kid just paddles out, gets up, surfs it, you know, like it's frustrating because it, I mean, it's great that it's frustrating for the rest of us because we're all like, you know, taking the time and it's very natural to him, you know, even to the point where when he had flute lessons for a while and he actually just picked up a flute and he could replicate the Harry Potter tune on the flute without any lessons. But the challenge that I have is that he doesn't want to stick at anything. Like he doesn't want to stick to the flute. So I'll let you go.
Is his profile, is the two unconscious?
No.
It's conscious.
Yeah, two. He's a 2-4.
Okay. So the two in the personality is, it's like, it knows that it's a natural. And so it's kind of like, I don't really, yeah, I learned it. Okay, I'm done with it. Like, what else is there? That's, it's completely so awesome. Unaware that it has this talent. That's like, no, you need to stick with this. And what happens is a lot of times parents give up on these kids because the kids are uninterested in developing their talent. Or the parents don't recognize, are also unaware of the true talent of the child. And so they put them in the wrong thing.
Mm.
So are we ready to move into line three?
Let's do it. Line three.
Okay. So the gift of the third line is discovering what does not work. Okay.
Welcome to my world.
Right. Same. So the third lines, they go out into the world and they bump into everything and life really truly bumps into them. These are people that are not designed to be on a dating app. They're literally designed to go out to the places where they want to meet people, and they will meet people, whether it's a coffee shop or a bar or an event or whatever. So they discover through trial and error how things work, how things operate in the world. And because of this, their lines are the most resilient and the most tenacity, have the most tenacity and ability to persevere and mutative, because they know how everything works. So they pick up something and they're like, well, this other thing worked this way. How does this work? And they can kind of just, oh, this is, it would work better if we did this. Now, all of a sudden they changed this product because they, all of the knowledge that they have from how things work. And so they can also recognize mutation first. And because they also know what doesn't work and learn how things don't work, they become really great at relationships when their chart matures. And so if they have a six line profile, that chart is going to mature around the age of 50. However, all the other lines are going to mature around 40. So these are people that are going to be, they have a bonds made and broken theme within the relationship. And so their wound, because of figuring out what doesn't work in order to figure out how things do work, and having this bonds made and broken, they have a lot of shame. Okay. And shame keeps us hidden. right? It keeps us hiding from, oh, I don't really want to do that. And so based on whatever else is in your chart, if you have a manifester, when they feel shame and they want to break the bond, then they just throw all this anger out at you, right? Mm-hmm. Or a generator also is an energy being. So they're pushing their energy out at you and they're like, no, go away, right? Uh-uh, done, over. Mm-hmm. A projector is a non-energy being. So their energy goes inward. So they just kind of stay in relationships that they don't really like, and they turn really bitter and they become ashamed of the fact that they can't leave or that they won't leave when they know that they should. And that shame keeps them stuck no matter what your profile is. And so teaching the third line early on how to get in and out of relationships is going to be really key. Saying, hey, you know, whenever your kids are young, like, okay, I'm done playing today. I want to go home, and letting that be okay. Or what I love doing, and I teach my friends to do this. They're like, how can you say that? I just tell people I don't want to. That's it. I don't tell them anything like, well, do you want to come do this? No, thanks. Well, why not? Because I don't want to. That's it. I don't always know why I don't want to do something, but I can trust because I'm a generator type. If my sacral is going, it's a no. And I don't need to rationalize it and reason it and explain it and figure it out. I just need to trust it.
Yeah. I love that. And I totally resonate with that. You know, even that, I mean, the shame piece, I don't know if I really resonate with the shame piece, but then I suppose by the time I matured at that 40 point, like my entire life just changed at my Uranus opposition in my early 40s. So that kind of makes sense. But that piece about like going out into the world, like always, like meeting lots of people, having lots of experiences, totally resonates with me. And that, I suppose, the shame piece around the bonds made and broken does resonate. One of the things that I think is really fascinating is, as a line three, you know, when Justin and I went through our challenges within our relationship, like I broke it. I was like, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. And like, so that bond was broken, and then we remade it. And that was one of the things that I was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, here is a human design. Like, and it had to be that point. We had to get to that point where it was broken so it could be something new. And, you know, going through that process really made me, I didn't know my design really well at that time, but I look back at it and go, wow, that was fundamental, like so fundamental for me, especially as a line three.
All right, moving on to the line fours. The line fours have this gift for networking. They have this friendliness that is created, and it's the opening that they really need in order to be influential. They have to wait for opportunities to come through them, through their network, through their community, through their friendships. And because of this, they can be very more influential than the other types when they maintain those relationships. So the fourth line profile's wound is not being accepted. You know, if they have a relationship where they don't feel accepted, or they don't have friends, or they're getting bullied at school, or people are talking about them behind their back and gossiping about them, or, you know, the drama that happens in junior high. This is a really hard time for your fourth line profile child.
Yeah. Yeah. And
or for adults who are going into like a new work environment and they're not able to make those connections quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating because both my kids are line fours. And I see that obviously they bring it to life in really different ways, but you know, we actually stopped traveling because both of them wanted to be with their people. They wanted to be back at school and find their own people, you know? And I think it's really powerful. Like, we even had feedback from one of Cooper's teachers. His English teacher was like, you know, this is the kid, like he's the reason why I teach. Like, when he arrived in the class, and he is this very magnetic human, he arrives in this class and all the kids are really drawn to him. And the teacher was like, I was really worried that, you know, he'd just be pulled down this path with these kids. And he said, And then he opened his mouth. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. He's not afraid to share an opinion or to answer or to be wrong. And he said, this kid's turning my whole class around. And I was just like, there's my line four, feeling really comfortable yes. in his community that he can just
and
speak
deeply influential.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And influencing the entire class in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even my little one, like my little one has this pattern. And as the line two, and I say little is not little anymore, I should stop saying that, is that everywhere he goes, he has a bestie. So he mm-hmm. finds this one or two people that he's like inseparable with wherever he goes. And he's always the one that is the support for that person. So he tends to have the smaller group, but I can see the influence happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful yeah. stuff.
So powerful. I love it.
I love it. Awesome. Anything else on the four, or should we move on to the line five?
Let's move on to the line five.
Beautiful.
So the line five carries the responsibility of universalizing whatever's in their chart. So you need to get a human design reading and figure out purpose, strategy, type, all of that stuff. And then you can really get clear about what your fifth line is here to universalize. And when I say universalize, the example I like to give is if you do not know how to paint at all, we have these little shops set up called Painting with a Twist. You show up for 2 hours, you bring a bottle of wine, you invite your girlfriends. They give you everything you need. They give you the canvas. They give you the paints. They etch in pencil whatever you need to paint. They give you the brushes. You just pay for the class and they provide everything. And by the time you're done, you have painted this really cool picture that's pretty worthy of hanging on your wall in your home.
Love that.
That is the universalizer. They're able to take something and make it so that everyone can do it or understand it or have access to it. Okay. Now, the way that they do that is they are operating inside of this projection field, and it kind of seduces you into recognizing the potential power that's there, but they are also really paranoid of that projection field. Because whenever, as you can imagine, you have this projection field, it's like you're holding this mirror up and everybody's saying, oh, this is who you are. And this is what you like. And this is what you want. And this is why you did that. And they're standing behind the mirror and they're like, they don't know me. They don't know me. They don't know me. They got it wrong. And they are incredibly lonely. And not only are they lonely, they're being vilified if they're in the wrong projection field.
Yeah.
Especially if they can't meet the expectations that people are putting on them. So the fifth lines really have to be aware of who they are, what they're truly capable of, and who they can save or not save, and if they can meet other people's expectations or not, and say that and say, you know what? I know that you think I can do this, but I either am not going to do it, I'm not willing to do it, or I can't do that. I don't know enough. I need to learn more and able to do that. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, they get really paranoid and they stay inside. They don't want to go outside because it's yeah. not safe.
Yeah. As I'm a line five, and it's so spot on. Like even when you're talking about the universalizing things, like literally the work that I do is like how to make human design simple so that people can become their own guru, you know, like that's exactly what I do. And
you know, that is so perfect because you are this manifesting generator. Manifesting generators are designed to get to the bottom line, to know what steps they can skip and what steps are truly important.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're universalizing.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And you're so right. Like that projection field, you know, one of the things I'm really good at these days is feedback, because I learned in my journey, and especially when I was, you know, I always talk about the book, The Four Agreements, and the specific agreement of not taking it personally. Like that changed my life as a line five, because the things that were projected onto me, and even to the point, like as a kid, I did. I completely retreated from the world, you know, because everyone mm-hmm. did put expectations on me, and I was dyslexic and blah, blah, blah. So it was just like, it's much safer in my internal reality than my external reality. Yeah. So how do we parent that? How do we, because I know that my mum, her heart was in the right place, but mm-hmm. she was always like, you can do this. You can do anything you put your mind to, da, 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 da. And it's just not what I needed to hear. You know, she would just pound away at how good she thought I was or the potential that I had. And all it did was drive me inward going, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone, because I was struggling at that time. Then, you know, over time I found the things that I was good at, but again, it left me with that fear of living up to other people's expectations. And obviously mm-hmm. I've worked through a lot of that now, but how do we parent that for kids?
You never, ever, ever assume that you know this child.
Love that. Oh my God. Amen to that. I literally.
And you don't take it personally.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't tell me who I am. That is one of the things I tell people all the time. Like, do not tell me who I am, because I will run screaming in the opposite direction from you.
Yeah. Love and that. My son is a 5'1" and he's a manifester. So as he has this resistant and repelling aura, as soon as he puts his aura in me, I'm ready to resist because I can feel his energy. And I'm like, that makes me want to go more toward him, because I'm like, why is he resisting? And then I want to put this expectation on him to not resist me. And he also has a lot of individual circuitry. So, and I have tribal circuitry. So I need touch and affection. And he doesn't like that. He doesn't care in the same way or show caring the same way that I do. And so whenever we just had this conversation where I wasn't believing him, he would, and this happens every few years. We'll sit down and have to have this conversation. He sits me down because I'm like, no, you didn't. You did it because of this reason. And I hold on to that because I'm hurting.
Yeah.
And usually when he's like, Mom, you're not believing me, I'm like, whoa, okay, you're right. I'm hurting. I'm feeling rejected by you. I'm not feeling like you really care about me right now. And I'm not able to truly see who you are. I need to go calm myself down. I need to like take a step out of the equation. And he's also emotionally defined and I'm emotionally open. So I can just be overwhelmed by his anger and his resistance and his emotion. And I just feel rejected. Well, my first line is deeply insecure.
So
it's like, what? No, I can't be rejected by my son. And then I'm a third line profile. And there's a lot of shame around that relationship if my child, who I care deeply for, doesn't love me. Right. So when I get into that, it's like, oh, not self coming out. Okay. And that kind of creates the environment for us to break that bond and remake it.
Yeah.
With me being able to say, okay, everything I thought I knew about you, I want to relearn you.
Yeah.
I want to, what's your favorite color now? Like I need to go over this stuff again. And then, you know, and he can totally change and so can I, but really, you don't know your fifth line profile. You really don't. You want to always give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Don't put them in a negative projection field. Don't vilify them. If they have siblings and you think it's the fifth line's fault, it might be, but do not assume that it is. Let them talk it out.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just feel like my whole childhood is flashing before me. You know, like, you know, getting blamed for stuff that wasn't me at all. Totally. I think that really resonates with me. That's brilliant. I love it. Okay. Are we ready for the line six?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Now the line six is completely different than any of the other lines. The line six truly has to go through all of the hexagrams, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in order to become that role model. And for the first 28 years, their focus is on that third line and that experimenter. And then for the next, from 28 to age 50, they withdraw from life. And this is where they're learning how to build and maintain relationships. They're coming into the fourth and the fifth line, how to kind of problem solve, how to figure things out. Just like the fifth line is really good at being this problem solver and fixing things and very practical, the sixth line has to learn how to do that in order to be a role model when it's time for them to be a role model. And they, because of that, they feel very disconnected. And that's the wound that they hold on to, is that they are different than everyone else. And they do a lot of experimenting, bonds made and broken, that by the time they go on the roof, they may not have a lot of bonds there. And that can be pretty lonely and hard whenever you're going into the, like the fourth hexagram, which needs relationship, and the fifth hexagram, which has this projection field. And so in that going on the roof and withdrawing from life, it's kind of, it's hiding, but it's also, they have to learn how to heal. And my definition of healing is applying love to the places that have been rejected or criticized or judged.
Yeah. I love that. And being married to a line six, like totally can see that journey, you know, like he's now 47 and definitely popping out the other side. Like he's definitely coming off the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, there's also like this inner sense of duty that they carry because they know they're preparing for something, but they don't know what.
Yeah.
But it's like, I need to learn. I need to experiment. I need to go live this and have this and understand this. And that trial and error is there. The way that they're going to learn is by making mistakes and learning what doesn't work in order to learn what does. And if we stop them or judge them, then they don't learn.
Yeah.
They're kinesthetic learners.
Yeah.
And so they can feel a tremendous amount of pressure and they need help relaxing into being who they are.
Yeah.
Because energetically, when they get to that point of being that role model, they're the ones giving everyone permission to be themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's that piece, like one of the things that I love to sort of clarify with the line six is that these are people who have to learn to lead themselves first. You know, they're not there necessarily. I mean, they might be a CEO or they might run a business or they might run a group. They might lead in the old conventional ways. However, it's about who they're being is why people follow them. It's not what they're doing. And I think that's one of the pieces that with the role model can be missed. Like these are kids that have to trust who they are. They have to learn to love. I mean, we all do have to learn to love, accept, and trust ourselves, but the line sixes especially, because it's their being that and learning to lead themselves and their experience of that journey that is why they're on the planet. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being here. This has been incredible.
Thank you so much. I love it. We could talk human design for hours, for days.
Oh my God. We could talk human design for hours and days. So we'll probably have you back on at some point. But thank you so much for doing this series. I feel like it's going to be really supportive for people. For everyone who's been listening, it's also going to be up on YouTube really soon. And I'm sure it'll be on Kristen's, you know, her page and those sort of things as well. So if you want to watch it sometime, you'll be able to do that as well. But thank you so much for your time, Kristen. It's been just the best.
Thank you, Emma.
So welcome. Thank you everyone for being here and joining us on this journey, and you know, go and empower those kids of yours. Like, put down some of the worry and anxiety, put boundaries around that, and go and empower your kids with what you've learned over this series, because they're little miracles walking around on the planet. Thanks everyone, and bye for now.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.